This is Jay Sekulow. We've got big developments on the cases involving Buddhist meditation in public schools.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, you remember the case we talked about last week involving what we uncovered after parents started complaining about a program in schools that go by a variety of names, but really involves Buddhist meditation practices in the schools. You know, one of our concerns was if students didn't want to participate, they were being told to go to a hall, basically sit out in the hall. It was being done in some school districts three times a day, 15 minutes at a time. We've been able to dig deep into it. By the way, we've now heard from, we've had 15 inquiries in 10 states. Plus, there is a national component, which I suspected there would be, and that is a federal U.S. Department of Education grant of $3.3 million to a school district in Oregon. Why? To see if the mindfulness technique or whatever you, there's a variety of names these curriculums go by, are effective. So it's interesting to see how it's developed, but we have raised this issue, and it's now making some media attention, too. CNN is covering it. Newsweek has covered it. And look, could you imagine if the school districts were adopting a plan that said, say, the Lord's Prayer in school as a time of reflection? I mean, could you imagine the outrage on this? Meditate on that? I mean, they'd be, you know, the ACLU and everybody else would be filing suits. But on this situation, it's a completely different scenario.
Yeah, imagine a $3.3 million grant given to a university professor to study how the Lord's Prayer before school would affect pre-K, preschoolers getting ready for kindergarten. Well, that's what happened with mindfulness. Portland State University professor, here's the story from the Oregon newspaper, a Portland State University professor has won a $3.3 million federal grant. Means the U.S. Department of Education gave him this grant to study whether mindfulness programs backed by Goldie Hahn, who is a Buddhist, works to get preschoolers ready for kindergarten. The program will be studied in 120 classrooms throughout Oregon, and this is, again, it came from the U.S. Department of Education. So we're preparing a FOIA at the U.S. Department of Education to figure out how many of these grants have been given out across the country.
Yeah, because that's one we know of. So what we've done with Freedom of Information Act requests allows us to ask the government for documentation as to how these grants worked, why they were authorized, who authorized them, in what amounts, and for what purpose. Now, I say that because we just know of one. The fact of the matter is there are others. We've also now heard from the publisher of one of the curriculums. But, Abby, first, you spent the last week really getting into this. And is there any doubt in your mind, you're senior lawyer at the ACLJ, you're handling this project, is there any doubt in your mind that this is Buddhism?
It's absolutely Buddhism. I mean, at this point, all that has changed, word changes. We're tweaking words so that it is not, does not sound Buddhist. So mantra, for example, the mantras that you listen to when you meditate,
yep,
are now referred to as simply audio recordings or reflections.
Yeah. So it's the same. It's same practices, different language.
It is.
And
it
they
is.
Knew they had to change the language, correct?
Right. There's admission several years ago that they knew they had to make sure this didn't appear as though it was Buddhist. So we're going to change wording to make sure that people don't catch on to that fact.
Yeah. So change the words, fool the school districts, and the parents don't find out about it until it's taking place. But believe me, we're starting to hear from parents all over the country. Wes, we got less than a minute here. You're a theologian by training as well as you got legal training as well. But as a theologian, what are we dealing with here?
This is religion. It really is. They're changing the religious terms so it's order to get this across. But the acts that they're teaching the children basically are based in Buddhism and Hinduism. They are religious acts, what we would call in Christianity acts of devotion. Yep. You can change the name, but it's still an act of devotion.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at all this. We want to hear from you, your reaction to this, and your ACLJ going to work on it. 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open for you, 800-684-3110. Also in our matching challenge campaign, this is now a national issue because of your support of the ACLJ.
Yeah, we've received 15 inquiries from 10 different states. We're representing three individuals. Two additional parents are in the process of representation, and in it now a teacher as well. So we are working on this. We need your financial support to continue this work. Donate now at aclj.org. It's our matching challenge. It means your donation will be double the impact of your donation. Donate today at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I'm going to ask you those. Hey, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to give you a little bit of sense of the ACLJ at work. So this whole mindfulness curriculum issue came back, which it did not take long to figure out that it's really Buddhism repackaged with some clever name changes. But there's more to it than that. We now have, in addition to, as Jordan just said, we've got 10 different states, 15 different inquiries, three individuals, two additional parents in process. We now know there was a federal grant of $3.3 million to an Oregon professor to determine if this even works. Well, meanwhile, it's been implemented in the schools and no one's determined if it works. That's an interesting scenario. And we've got state FOIA matters going up. We're asking the states what their involvement is. We're going to ask the federal government what their involvement is. If we don't get the responses, we go to federal court for a Freedom of Information Act case. That's all going on right now. I want to know, here we are at the end of the school year, and, you know, what was the big, when I saw our contact sheets today, what was it? They wouldn't let them sing a Christian song in the winter choral festival because it would offend people. They don't want to have a song that references Jesus in the Christmas event because it'll be violating church-state separation. But practicing Buddhism in the schools as a mandatory instruction technique, that doesn't seem to be much of a problem here. And evidently, this is all over the country. So we're getting your calls at 800-684-3110. But you also need to understand, this is not tested. Go ahead first, Jordan.
No, I mean, I want to show people. This is from the Oregon article. This is OregonLive.com. What these kids look like, these are preschoolers, what it looks like when they're in this. What does that look like to you?
Looks like they're praying.
Looks like yoga, meditation, or prayer. So right. What if the courts told us we can't have prayer in public schools? What are those kids doing? I mean, this is for our Facebook and Periscope audience. Go back if you're listening on radio. But these kids are clearly in a prayer setting. They've got their legs crossed. It's a yoga, meditative prayer position. And these are preschoolers we are talking about. Three and four-year-olds being indoctrinated.
Abby, I was going to ask you that. So far, there of all the empirical studies that have been done, we just shared this with our Facebook and Periscope audience, there is no empirical data or less, was it less, 1% or less?
1%.
Yeah, so what exactly has gone on that? What, they've done some kind of studies on the effectiveness of this?
There have, and the research is problematic, and here's why. For every research study that touts the benefits of mindfulness, there's a research study to suggest that there's a dark side to the mindfulness.
When people are saying, what are the Sekulow's group is saying dark side? I can already see the comments on Twitter. But explain what you mean by that.
Well, that people are people who suffer from depression and or chronic pain are looking to mindfulness as a solution. And it's leading to more depression
or not the desired result.
Not the desired result at all. There are actually studies that suggest that people have become incapacitated from the mindfulness practices.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get into the individual medical studies and what works or what does not work. Here's what I know. Based on everything we're reading, and you spent a week going through this stuff, here's the problem. This is like we're experimenting on three-year-olds. That's the real problem, Harry, from a policy standpoint. We're doing a national experiment, evidently, on 3 and 4 year olds.
Absolutely. And it's also important to look at the context. In the United States, it is difficult for a 5 or 6 year old kid in public schools to post a poster that shows, let's say, a picture of Jesus in a public school. That is seen as a violation of the Establishment Clause in some school districts. And yet we now have mandatory, coercive impositions of mindfulness programs in public schools. What is mindfulness? If you break it down, it's simply a Buddhist at prayer. And so you can argue that that is a clear and unmistakable violation of the Establishment Clause. The public schools are imposing a form of prayer on public school children, and that is a violation of the Constitution.
Wes, we just saw the picture. Jordan had that up. I think we're going to tweet that out also. I think give you a sense of what it is. And here's my question. Can you imagine if what they were doing, as I said, was reciting the Lord's Prayer, we'd have every lawsuit in the country would be filed, right? I mean, that's what would happen here. But when you look at that, when you've read about the curriculum, and you are a theologian by training, you could call this whatever you want, but it is a religious practice.
Right. You can change the name, but if they were requiring children to lift their hands in praise or to genuflect or to do any number of things, but well, we're changing it. We're not calling it that. The school boards would be apoplectic. The fact is, mindfulness is connected to Buddhist teaching, and that teaching is that wholeness and salvation is found within, and that by looking inward, you begin the journey towards enlightenment. And this is no disrespect to Buddhists, but in fact, that is a religion, and what I just described to you is religious dogma.
Yeah, and it could, yes. So here you go. And why did they get a pass? Well, because they changed the names. And that seems to me to be the thing here, Abby, is that they're changing the names. They're modifying not really the practice, but the way they describe it.
Precisely. But then when they're making these presentations to parents, only after parents ask, they're still touting the benefits to the children by listing spiritual benefits. Literally on a presentation to the school, it said the slide said spirit and benefits. And one of the benefits to the child's spirit is a oneness with the universe, a connectedness with everyone.
Yeah. So, and they're not even doing a very good job of hiding it, is what it really comes down to. All right, let's go ahead. We're taking calls, 800-684-3110. But again, let me tell you what we're doing. We've got, Abby's got a team that she's working with. We're going to be doing state FOIAs. That's Freedom of Information Act. Federal FOIA, because now we know there's federal money involved. Your taxpayer dollars. That they can give money for, by the way. You know, getting national security and a border wall, that you can't do. But you can. We could spend millions on determining if a program that's already in the schools actually works. Again, experimenting on 3 and 4 year olds.
For 5 years.
For 5 years.
$3.3 million a professor gets to study this for 5 years from your Department of Education. This is why, again, I think it helps the Trump administration to point what is going on, because I'm sure it was some bureaucrat, because this level of funding, though it sounds like a lot of money to all of us, is not much for a Department of Education budget, is probably approved by a bureaucrat. So the Department of Education needs to be put on notice. We are in the process of doing that now. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Sherry in Wisconsin, people are taking this to a grassroots level.
Which is exactly what we want.
And Sherry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. So, Jay, I really appreciate your program.
Thanks.
What I did is when I first heard the program air regarding this reflection, I immediately called my daughter's high school, and I inquired about it, spoke to the counselors, etc. And I was happy and pleased to hear that they have not heard about it, nor obviously are they adopting that. So.
Well, that's good news on your end. Yep. The question that I've got, Abby, is this being implemented in high schools? Or is it more of the elementary schools and junior highs? Or do we know yet?
From the feedback we've received, it's most common in elementary. But the programs on their website provide materials for all age groups.
Okay.
Like, for instance, Mind Up, which is the one we focus on with this $3.3 million grant, is a K-8 program. So if that call went into a Wisconsin high school, that program would not be available. Now, the others, like Inner Explorer and others, do go further. I think what's important to note, though, is that maybe that high school hasn't adopted it yet, but we know from Inner Explorer's website that high schools and schools in Wisconsin, so elementary schools as well, Wisconsin, it's in all 49 states, plus D.C., plus Puerto Rico. The only state we can't figure out that because of Inner Explorer's map, looks like South Dakota may not have implemented any of these programs. But every other state has at least some schools with these programs operating in it.
Goldie Hawn and spoke at the 2013 at the Dalai Lama Center for Peace and Education on this topic. I mean, and again, I think she's a great comedian, but here's what she said.
We have to be able to teach our children how their brains work. We have to be able to bring contemplative practice into the classroom under a different name, because obviously people that say, oh, meditation, they think, oh, well, this is Buddhist or this is whatever. Well, His Holiness absolutely doesn't have any denomination on this. I mean, when he said educate the mind and the heart, he's not talking about religion.
Well, wait a minute. You just said His Holiness. Okay, talking about the Dalai Lama. And again, no disrespect to the Dalai Lama, who is a religious figure, okay?
Is a Buddhist monk.
And is a Buddhist monk, right. But the fact of the matter is, you just called him His Holiness, and he doesn't have a denomination on this. So this is a really cheap attempt, Wes, at sleight of hand. I mean, it's just not a very good sleight of hand. I mean, they're trying. It's just not very good.
They are trying, but yeah, it comes through. The truth comes through. And this is not to slam Buddhists.
No.
But what we're trying to say is that Buddhism, like Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, it is a religion. And trying to pretend like it's not a religion is a farce on the face of it.
Remember a couple of years back, we had the five pillar of Islam things, where kids were being, given, you get your Muslim name, you bow five times a day to Mecca. I mean, they went through this whole process. But could you imagine we're going to give you your Christian name or your Hebrew name? I mean, so this is a completely distinct, that's what you were going to, Harry, a completely distinct set of rules, because it's a non within the Judeo-Christian tradition of U.S. kind of history. And again, no disparagement of Buddhism, but we know what it is here.
Absolutely. And so what we have is simply a sleight of hand by many elites who favor this particular practice and disfavor Christianity and Judaism.
All right, we're taking a break. We're going to take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jamming up. We will take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. State FOIAs, federal FOIAs, individual activity to school districts. On top of that, we're going to have, I'm sure, conversations with these curriculum outfits. We already know that they're reaching out. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, but we want your support for the ACLJ. Jordan's going to let you know quickly how to do it here.
Yeah, ACLJ.org matching challenge. Whatever you donate is doubled, because we have a donor who will match your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back. 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about this Buddhism curriculum in the schools. Now, Abby, during the break, was talking. She's our senior lawyer that's handling this project for us. She has got a situation where how school districts are reacting to this. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, some school districts really get it, some don't. What are you finding?
So with regards to one client that we're representing, within the same county, the same school district, one elementary school has come out and specifically rejected the curriculum.
What was their basis for rejection?
It's religious in nature.
Yep.
And then just a few miles down the road, you have another school that is fully supporting the mindfulness curriculum and defending it.
What happens if a parent were to object for an opt-out, which is not the way it should be done here, but what happens?
In many of the cases, the solution is simply to put the child in the hallway.
That repulsive, by the way.
Or to have a student teacher or an assistant teacher take the child to another classroom. The problem with that is when it is occurring three times a day, the consistency with which the child is allowed to opt out is sporadic. And so we've received reports that even at the parent's request that their child be opted out of every single meditation session, that the child is still sitting through many of those sessions while an audio recording is played on the intercom of the entire school and or individually in the classroom.
You're sitting there shaking your head, Wes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable this is actually happening, you know. And, you know, back whenever you and I were growing up, we had the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer every day in school.
Even in New York,
yep, by the way. The Pledge of Allegiance. Yep. There's a reason why that was outlawed. And yet, during that time, whenever school systems were trying to keep the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm in, they tried what you just described. We'll let the children opt out. They can go into the hall. And it singles the child out as not being a team player.
Yeah.
And the court said no.
The advocate. You know, the position we've maintained is we like student initiated, student led. That's why we did those Bible club cases back in the 90s and the student led movement, because that's the students making a decision how they want to see you at the poll, events like
moments
that, Bible clubs, moments of silence are fine. But this is not a moment of silence. No. It's very different. Go ahead, Abby.
It is not. It's very different in that these curriculum programs are touting the fact that they are training these teachers in the mindfulness techniques. And so teachers are sitting through extensive training. In fact, MindUp touts that it has trained over 150,000 teachers in 12 countries.
So repeat that number again.
150,000 teachers in 12 countries.
Yeah, there you go. So they're successful with their propaganda.
They really are. And yet it is religious in nature. And that's really what we're saying. If you sit in the lotus position,
which those kids were doing.
Yes, and your hands folded in front of you, and a bell rings to bring you back to focus inwardly. And in Buddhism, that's called the shamatha.
Right.
They call it anchoring in this curriculum. Those things are overtly religious acts practiced in Buddhism.
Yep. Harry?
Well, I think it's important to note what the Supreme Court has said in the past. Families entrust public schools with the education of their children, but condition their trust on the understanding that the classroom will not purposely be used to advance religious views that may conflict with the private beliefs of the student and his or her family. Students in such institutions are impressionable, and their attendance is often involuntary. And that is precisely what is happening in many of these cases. We have the coercive imposition of a religious belief, and then we offer the patina that these beliefs are simply secular, that they are not religious. This is pure nonsense on the part of the curriculum leaders in those public schools, and they deserve to be stopped and stopped quickly.
Well, that's the job of what we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice, so we're working on that right now on a whole host of levels. I mean, that's what's very important here.
Bill's calling in from Minnesota Online 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jay. Listen every day. Thanks for taking my call. I originally had a different take on this, but as I'm listening to your sound reasoning, I think it also could provide an opportunity for Christians to say, hey, we want our time as well. And
every school district in America would reject it, Bill. Yeah. Just so you know. Go ahead and finish. I want to finish. But there's no way that would pass constitutional muster if you said, you know, we're going to meditate on the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of each day, and kids are going to put on a set of headphones, and someone's going to be, you know, reading the Lord's Prayer out to them. You can imagine what's going to happen. I mean, there was no way that would pass muster. But go ahead and finish up.
Well, I think sometimes it just falls into that category of where, as Christians, sometimes we're against everything. And some of these relaxation things and do work, but I'm with you guys in terms of it being coming from the Buddhist religion.
Here's the problem. They've been implementing these things for like 10 years. They're just now doing the studies. Go ahead.
Well, and here's the thing is, when we have proposed to a school district, we just want you to remove the audio recordings. If you want to create a moment of silence for the kids to collect their thoughts and sit there quietly, and, you know, detach from the electronics and the learning time, that's fine. They're resisting that request, though, because they want the mantras. They want the audio recordings that accompany the official meditation and mindfulness time.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to understand the actual practice of what they're actually doing here.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you apply modern Supreme Court precedent from the 1960s to what is being done here, it should be unconstitutional.
No question.
Does it have to get to that point is the question. We have now parents who are ready to challenge this if necessary, if these schools aren't backing down, because you've got these curriculum providers, and there's a number of them, this is their business.
Right.
So they're nonprofits, but they sell these programs to the schools, and they are focusing in on our youngest children. They are, for instance, in Oregon, the focus is on 3 and 4-year-olds. Mind Up's program is for pre-K to 8th. That's where they're focused on, the youngest minds in our country, the most the easiest minds to influence, if you will, and to start their school careers with Buddhist meditation.
Yep.
I mean, that is going to have a long-term impact on them if it continues.
Abby, you were reading something of interest.
Yeah. So Goldie Hawn, in support of the Mind Up program, says, I created Mind Up because I was compelled to help children learn the tools and knowledge they need to thrive, to live compassionately and be happy. And then she goes on to explain that the mindfulness practices will increase peace and joy in the minds of the children. Well, I mean, directly from a Buddhist website, it says the Buddhist practice of meditation is a way of developing positive states of mind that are characterized by calm, concentration, awareness, and emotions such as friendliness. So, I mean, the concept is the same.
Yes, exactly.
Entirely the same.
Yeah. So here's the thing that, again, Buddhists want to practice Buddhism. It's a free country. I would defend their right to do it. What I don't defend your right to do is inculcated into the America's public school students with, you know, and especially the target seems to be 3 and 4-year-olds. Now, having said that, there's ways in which you handle it. And that what we're doing is gathering the facts. We now know from last week to this week, we've learned a lot. We know the scope and nature of the curriculums. We know that it's directly out of Buddhist teaching. We know that there's federal grants now involved, at least one for $3.3 million. We know that there's state issues because some schools are rejecting it, some are accepting it. That's why we do our job at the ACLJ. And you can be part of the team, and we encourage you to do it, especially here the latter part of the month.
That's right. We have a matching challenge. It's a great time to support the work, the ACLJ, as we continue the work. We're not just finishing out the new year. We continue working through the year and prepare for the next year as well. If you donate today at aclj.org, you effectively double the impact of your donation. We have a matching challenge. Let me give you just a quick example. If you donate $25 at aclj.org, that's how much you're charged on your credit card, $25. We have a donor ready to match that donation of $25. So effectively, you have donated $50 to ACLJ, but only been charged $25. Donate today at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
It goes by a variety of names, but it's basically Buddhism in the schools mandated multiple times a day in some school districts, up to three times a day for 15 minutes, Buddhist meditation techniques. They acknowledge it. The curriculum development is pretty much has to acknowledge it because it's fact. And they've changed names to try to hide it. Now, we've now learned, and again, this is, look, these are your taxpayer dollars at work here. And, you know, we've had this whole discussion this week over the support and the cost of the border security fence as a national security item. And, you know, everybody's, you know, up in arms about, can we find $5 billion, which, believe me, could be found very easily. This was a grant to an Oregon professor to study the impact of this, which, by the way, they're studying the impact now, but it's meanwhile going on for years. And he got $3.3 million to do this from your taxpayer dollars. So that's your taxpayer dollars at work here. So what we're doing at the ACLJ is commencing a federal FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, a demand, a state FOIA at the state level to find out how these have been implemented. And then we're looking at, we're representing right now, we've got inquiries from 10 different states and 15 inquiries from 10 different states. We've already got, looks like, about five cases already working. What Abby Sutherland's handling this as our senior counsel on this. What do you think the major thrust of this is right now? What are you hearing from parents and or teachers for that matter?
Well, I think what they're concerned about is they're spending so much time on this. Parents were not given notice that this was taking place. The audio recordings are not readily available to parents. And so not only have their children been listening to this for at least the last 4 months, possibly in years prior, but when they ask for the recordings, many times the school's response is, well, it's a real-time recording. So we can provide you with a recording at the time that your child will be listening to the recording. So there's no advance notice for the parents. There's no written curriculum to review. And so parents are essentially left out in the dark as to what their children are being forced to sit, assume a Buddhist meditation pose, and listen to.
Yeah, I mean, this is, Wes, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the psalmist, which comes from the Judeo-Christian tradition, says, be still and know that I am God. No doubt there are some benefits to being quiet,
right,
and to meditating and to thinking, but you can't do it in a blatantly religious paradigm with religious sounds, symbols, and physical acts, and that's really what they're doing.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I just wanted to let our radio audience know, because I told you about this for our Facebook and Twitter audience, Periscope audience, but I've now tweeted out so you can see the image of the students in Portland engaged in this. So now if you're a radio listener, go to my Twitter page. If you can't do it now, later today, twitter.com/JordanSekulow, and you'll see they are in the yoga meditative pose, eyes closed. Some have like their hands closed like they're praying. I mean, this does not look like, again, just taking a moment of silence. This is, you could tell it was guided. These are young kids that were obviously told what to do, and then you've got audio that they were listening to.
I want to know about that. Do we have that audio available?
Remember, they're listening to audio while they're sitting there doing that.
Yeah. Do we have one of those audio available? Do we have time to do it? Yeah, let's play one.
Let's start by closing your eyes and listening for the sound of rain. We use the rain stick at the beginning of each recording to let you know we're about to start our exploration. It's a signal telling you it's time to pay close attention to what's happening on the inside of you.
They're doing this to 3 and 4 year olds. I mean,
they had used a bell or a rain stick called the shamatha in Buddhism to do exactly what she just described.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a very tame recording. This is the one that's readily available for anyone,
yep,
as a sample on one of the curriculum's websites.
Yep. Some are not so tame.
Yes, not so tame.
We have any of those yet?
We have written transcripts of some of them. An attorney has actually written out what she's listened to.
All right, so we're going to have transcripts developing. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Your taxpayer dollars at work, state and federal, I might add. So it's, by the way, you know, you pay those state taxes that go to your school board. There you go. Federal taxes as well. We're going to get more information on this. We're going to take a break in a moment. Don't forget the ACLJ, aclj.org, and our matching challenge campaign. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. Those on Facebook and Periscope, got a special video coming up for you. And again, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, so we're talking about these mindfulness programs. We were looking at state FOIAs. Now we know we can file a federal FOIA, and that's because the Department of Education has given out a $3.3 million grant to a Portland State professor to study mindfulness in preschoolers, 3 and 4 year olds at 120 schools in Oregon over 5 years to see if the Mind Up meditation program put forward by Buddhist actress Goldie Hawn is effective. Now, it's already being run in these classrooms, but he won this 5 year grant. So that means the Department of Education can now be FOIA'd to find out, one, what was the process behind this? Two, I think what should be much more interesting is how many other professors have been given grants like this across the country, because we know programs like this are in about every single state but one that we can find right now is South Dakota. And that's only one program. That's InterExplore. There are lots of other of these programs like Mind Up, but it says InterExplore is not active in South Dakota. That's it. They're active in every other state. And we've getting reports also from some of our more junior attorneys who are working this with other programs. And Abby, they're actually reporting that some of this has come, some of the audio is not just recorded, but is coming in real time, just like our radio broadcast. It's coming in broadcast live into the schools.
That's what the schools have told the parents in explaining that. We can't provide you with all of the audio recordings that your child is listening to. We can only allow you to sign in and listen as your child listens.
So understand, I mean, they can't provide the audio. It's coming in real time, whether it's live, unedited. But the school's not getting like a copy, which is interesting, that they can just give out to parents. They can then give them a login if they'd like. I guess that's the solution they're providing. And this is happening multiple times a day throughout the day. I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Here's just another sample from InterExplore. This is what they put on their website, by the way, not what they're hiding from the parents. Bite 5.
As you take a few breaths in and out, and one more time, in and out, you'll begin to explore your inner world. That's why we call it Inner Explorer.
If you're 3 years old, okay? My daughter's 2.5. I'm imagining her, 6 months, 3 years old, trying to, that concept, and she's smart. This concept, though, I mean, where is it going? Well, we know where it's going. It's going to a larger indoctrination. You're just starting to really hear it at that age, and we don't know the impacts of this.
Well, let me read. This is one of the recordings that we've been provided only after demanding it. And it's a little more egregious. Each time you pay attention as you breathe in and out, your thoughts pass. You can start to feel calmer and maybe even clearer. your goodness, maybe even your magnificence. So, I mean, what it's focusing in on is your own goodness.
Yeah.
It's worshiping oneself.
Yeah. The opposite of a lot of Judeo-Christian beliefs, obviously, as well. Now, you could say that because it's obviously religious in nature, because it's taking this opposing view of, it's taking Eastern religion kind of in those positions of goodness, and the opposite of Judeo-Christian, that we need a savior, we need a God, because we are not fundamentally good. I mean, this idea that we need something to help us be good, and we can never really be good enough. I mean, so there's, you see the opposing, where this comes to a head is as the students get older, and maybe they come from Christian homes or other more Judeo-Christian backgrounds, and this comes to a head when they've been told, hey, I'm great, I'm magnificent, it's all inside me, and then they're being told at church, no, you need and that's what their parents have decided to raise them. No, you need this savior. You need a God to guide you. You need something bigger than you. And this comes at a head. I mean, so there's a huge theological element to this, Wes.
Yeah, and there have been studies, for example, that Christian prayer can actually promote and speed up healing, physical healing, and a sense of well-being. But we're not allowed to force that teaching in public schools. We can't even go in and change the name of Christian prayer that promotes physical well-being and healing, because it is overtly religious. And, you know, you can call this whatever you want to. And this, again, as we've said earlier, is not a slam or a critique of Buddhism. There are some wonderful Buddhists out there. But Buddhism is a religion, just like Islam, yes, just like Christianity, just like Judaism. To take these religious practices and traditions and put them in public school and pretend like they're not religious is disingenuous.
You know, we are going to take a phone call right now, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air. That's our toll-free number to call, 1-800-684-3110. I would love to know from you if you're teachers, or if you've got a student who, and you know that this is going on in their classroom, or you've heard about it maybe coming to their classroom, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Darlene in Texas on line 6. Darlene, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Darlene, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hi. I've been following you. I'm just devastated by the lack of activity in the body of Christ itself. I've been a school nurse for 19 years. Mm. I've watched the secularization of education. That's a belief system. I started way back when I was a director of a clinic through Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And then I became a Christian, and they told me to call a baby a fetus. Then I looked into schools and found out that we're going to have evolution. We took in creationism through Gish theory into the schools, and they did do it then. We were involved. I changed the name in my clinic to a baby, and I told Planned Parenthood when I became a Christian that they were murderers. They wanted to sue me, but that was my opinion. Then I looked at the books, and
Darlene, you raised a really important point. This is kind of the name changing of the situation here. But there's something there's else that's driving me here, and that is this idea. And I know we just touched on it. This real time audio. So let's describe for people what we're talking about, Abby, very specifically. Again, I think it's important to hit this. Real time audio means the parents do not know what's going to be said.
Right. The parents can only listen along at the same time that their child is being presented with this audio recording in the class.
How do they do it? Do we know how they're actually implementing the real-time audio? I mean, is it a central system, or is it the school?
I believe it's through a central system, one of the main curriculum programs. They do it through headphones, through an audio played throughout the entire school or within the classroom.
Harry?
What we have is a clear violation of Supreme Court precedent and Supreme Court law.
That's an understatement, but yes.
The Supreme Court has required neutrality, and indeed the Department of Education has issued guidance on prayer. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the First Amendment requires public school officials to be neutral in their treatment of religion, showing neither favoritism toward nor hostility against religious expression, such as prayer. Accordingly, the First Amendment forbids religious activity that is sponsored by the government, but protects religious activity that is initiated by private individuals, and the line between government-sponsored and privately initiated religious expression is vital to a proper understanding of the First Amendment. So clearly, we have a program sponsored by the school, and that violates the Department of Education. It violates their own guidelines, And yet it continues. In essence, what they are preaching is a form of Eastern religion, and it's not neutral.
Well, let me play for you. Well, here's another one. Inner Explorer, number, was this, 5?
As you take a few breaths in and out, and one more time, in and out, you'll begin to explore your inner world. That's why we call it Inner Explorer.
What grade is this for, by the way? How old are these
kids? With 3 and 4 year olds, but then Abby got some text. This is what they provide publicly. So that's what they consider.
This
kind
is
of
their clean,
new.
Their clean version.
But we got
some
text of the of some more of the audio of what these kids are really hearing. Abby, read that out again for people.
So here's another one. Imagining through our connection, there's a feeling of peace. You may be imagining that all of nature and all of the universe is sending out feelings of love, and feelings of happiness, and feelings of peace. And then there's another one that encourages the children. To think on their own magnificence, their goodness and magnificence.
And what we were pointing out there is that starts the opposition again to the Judeo-Christian Western faith and the Eastern faith. The Eastern faith, I am good, I can handle myself.
I am God.
I am God, I'm magnificent. And then the Western Judeo-Christian faith to say, I need a God, and then the Christian faith, I need a savior, because fundamentally I am not good.
Right.
So you are starting kids off at 3 and 4 years old, and again, that's going to come to a head when they realize maybe at church or at synagogue they're being taught one thing, or even at the mosque, and then at school they're being taught something totally different about themselves.
Yeah, and I question the strange silence on this issue from the ACLU, the American Humanist Association, and the American Atheist. Is indicative of the bias that is just against Christians and Jews.
Yes. Now, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
I'd like to, our friends from the American Atheist Association, American Humanist Association, what do you think about mindfulness? Our phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110.
They probably practice it at their offices.
Yeah. 800-684-3110. But look, this is your money. Go into this stuff. Your taxpayer dollars at work on the state and federal level. So we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget the matching challenge campaign for the ACLU.
Yeah, I mean, all of this work, we got multiple clients coming in just on this matter. 5 right now, plus a teacher involved too, so parents and teachers in 10 different states. We need your financial support. I mean, this is coming in right at the end of the year. If you donate online today, our matching challenge, you double the impact of your donation. So if you donate $20, we have a donor ready to match that $20. It becomes $40 to ACLJ. Donate today online at aclj.org as that matching challenge goes through the end of December.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment of the broadcast. Your taxpayer dollars at work, Inner Explorer, Mindfulness. There's a whole lot of different names they go by. It's making news. Newsweek has got it. CNN now doing something with it. We are taking action, state and federal. FOIA requests on state and federal level. Maybe litigation if necessary there. Also representing individual parents. We now have 15 inquiries from 10 different states. Three of those cases are already open files. Two additional ones in the process. That's why your support of the ACLJ makes such a huge difference at ACLJ.org. Let's go to the phone. It is the last segment, so we take as many calls as we can.
Kelly in Nebraska on line three. This is an interesting one. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Hey.
When I was in fifth grade, something like this was introduced in our school. We had sessions where we would meditate, imagine, listen to sounds, people directing us what to do. We could not talk about what the curriculum was, what our activities were. We weren't supposed to tell our parents what was going on. We weren't supposed to remove any of the paperwork that we did from the school. And when my parents found out, you know, they started protesting, and we had to sit in the hall. If we didn't want to participate, okay, fine. You had to sit in the hall. Did not start out with very many people out in the hall, but eventually people started becoming aware.
Well, they're still doing the sitting out in the hall. I mean, Abby, that's the
yeah,
kind
of
what's
interesting with Kelly is eventually so many people started sitting out in the hall. What happened, Kelly?
They did go ahead and discontinue the program.
There you go.
So there's a grassroots way of getting at this.
Yeah. So you said it started out small, Kelly, with the one or two students, and then it just, as it grew, they realized this was a problem?
Yeah, my parents and my aunt went to the school board, and I mean, they were constantly researching this and going to all of the school board meetings and objecting, and they finally did quit doing that program.
You know, it's interesting because this is where grassroots activism at the school board, I would say what's sometimes the most important seat you can run for is at the school board.
Absolutely.
Harry, go ahead.
And many people don't recognize the power that the school board has on their children. They have essentially discretionary power with respect to the entire curriculum. And so if you can capture the school board, effectively you capture the curriculum, and then you can mandate programs that are in clear and unmistakable violation of the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, so long as you are pushing something that is very popular in our age, human autonomy.
What are we hearing, Abby, as you're talking to parents now, what are the schools telling the parents?
We're receiving mixed responses.
Okay.
Some schools are still in the process of considering implementing a program. Some schools have implemented the program and are sticking to that program despite numerous concerns raised by parents. Some parents are being provided the curriculum and the information that their children are being subjected to, and then other schools are resisting providing all of the information. Yep.
So we mentioned to you that the grant was given, a $3.3 million grant in Oregon, and we've got a call coming in from Oregon on line two.
Yeah, that's right. So let's go to Judy on line two. Judy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I am a great-grandmother, sixth generation, living in Beaverton, 8 miles from Portland. Question, why was our community, and I'm just like a county away, why were we never informed of this, and how, in my opinion, can it be stopped? Because I am a Christian, and my children do not live here. They're married and have, I have great-grandchildren. Why was this never... Why do I not know about it till now?
Well, this is because most people didn't know about it till now. It's just now, you know, we uncovered it because somebody complained. And, you know, that's how cases start for us. I mean, somebody complained, we get aware of it, and then we find out about it. And then what Abby's done the last week is spent the week going through more of this, and it's much more pervasive than we initially thought. That's the truth. And that's how you find out by individual parents. The problem is they're trying to keep this really under the cover. I mean, it's kind of the sense I get.
Definitely. Many parents were unaware that this was taking place until our radio program.
So there you go. And that's one of the reasons we're able to do this broadcast, one of the reasons we do it. But it's your taxpayer dollars being used for this. That's what we have to remember.
And if you don't have a pre-K through eighth grader, you probably wouldn't have learned about this over the last few years because it seems like where most of these programs are focused in on. Then you'd have to assume that a 3 or 4 year old would come back home and explain this to their parents in a way their parents would understand, especially when the school is not being open and honest about what is going on throughout the school day until the parents start asking. And even when the parents start asking, only some of the parents we represent are actually getting anything back from the schools. Other times the schools are resisting. Let's go to Becky calling from Virginia on line five. Becky, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, good morning. Hey. Thank you for what you do, sure. Jay. I really deeply appreciate this. And my question is, what do you say as an apologetic for Christianity when I'm confronted, when I've tried to confront others about this, and they say it's not a religion, it's a way of life? That's my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. But the founders of it acknowledge it's a religion. I mean, they've been very clear on that.
It's a religion that actually originated out of India. It's attributed to the teachings of the Buddha. This is in every definition of Buddhism. So these people that say, oh, it's more of a way of life, I'll just read it out for you. Statistically, when we track world religions, Buddhism is the world's fourth largest religion with over 520 million followers. So it is considered a religion by all the statisticians that look at world religion. Its definition is that it's a religion that was began in India and then moved through the Eastern world, and has now made its way into the Western world as well, and kind of has gone international.
Yep. And they are really pushing this on an international basis. We're talking about the United States, but this is being, Abby, this is going all over over the world.
Right.
Yeah. So this is, understand that this is deep in scope. All right, let's grab another call.
Yeah, Eileen in New Jersey on line one. Eileen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
I just want to say two things. I was one of the presenters for this in the classroom. I was an ESL teacher, and as I went into each class, they had, you know, like a seminar about it beforehand.
Yep.
And as with our laptops, we would log in and instruct the students, you know, to breathe and stuff like that. I didn't hear two of the ones that you played about the magnificence and the other one about the all creatures. What it was used for is it was basically an inner city school, and trying to get the kids to A, calm down,
yep,
B, be more kind, and C, be mindful of their behavior and the things that they're saying and paying attention in class, rather than having all these kids who have ADHD being out of control.
I get it. Completely understand that. And I think techniques should be utilized to further the education system and to provide an environment that's most conducive for the students. But what you cannot do, and you said you didn't hear all these things. And by the way, no one's hearing all these things because they're often done in real time. So you don't even know what's coming until it actually happens. So forget the teachers not knowing. The parents don't know either. But what's happened here, there's an acknowledgement here by the school. I want to be clear on this. The founders of this are acknowledging directly and indirectly the religious tenets of this practice, Abby. I mean, there's no question about that.
That's right. The founders of two of these programs, at least, are on record acknowledging, yes, this is a Buddhist practice. We've removed some of the wording and the terms so that it does not appear to be a religious practice any longer.
Wait, Harry, give me a 15-second, kind of 20-second summary here.
Well, the reason why they remove the terms, the reason why they attempt secrecy, is because implicitly, if not explicitly, they know that they are pushing and propagating a religion.
All right, that does it for the broadcast today. We're going to have another report on some other cases of the ACLJ tomorrow. We encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ as well. Don't forget at the end of the month.
We have our matching challenge right until the end of the month at midnight on December, at the end of the month. Anything you donate is doubled. The ACLJ and our matching challenge. We encourage you so we can continue to do all this work, represent these parents. Donate online now at aclj.org. It makes a huge difference.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.